Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Hello and welcome to Stories from the Bunker, the weekly show where we talk about the weird and the wonderful, the strange and the supernatural. And with me, Robin, today are Alex.
Hello there, Robin. Hello. How's it going?
Are
it's
you
going
okay? Right with me. Are you all right?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad. Excited to be here in the studio with the one and only Chris from 101 Facts.
Chris from 101 Facts. Standing in for Martin this week, because Martin's, he's
dead.
He's searching for the Yeti up in Nepal. He's not dead, luckily. He'll be back. But yeah, Chris is standing in. It's great to have you back, actually.
Oh, it's great to be back. I really enjoyed the last podcast, and I'm glad that my tangent didn't interrupt anything.
what's the tangent?
Oh, time travel, you know.
Yeah.
Is that some Consploobles merch?
It is, actually. I should have said so.
Oh, shit.
I should have said at the beginning. This is, as you saw last week, those of us watching YouTube, I've got the Conspiracy t-shirt. This one's an old classic design about an alien. Yes. Are we alone in the universe?
You see, I got changed since last week. Robin has been wearing this all week. I keep telling him, you gotta get some
shower,
more clothes,
man.
Robin.
You gotta shower.
Subscribe to Patreon to buy Robin's used shirt.
Oh, no,
well,
that's not a reward.
Happen.
But maybe it would be if there was a demand for that. But
is there a demand for that? You guys.
Let us know in the comments below.
Yeah. We'll yell at your window. We might hear you.
In case you're wondering, Chris has Tourette's.
No!
So if you hear anything surprising and startling, it's nothing to be worried about.
Yeah, it's fine.
Today, as always, we'll be discussing some topics in depth, more current affairs than usual. Normally, we look at something far from the past, but today I've got a topic from the recent past, which is, I guess it's relevant to all of us, either now or in the future, and it's to do with drugs companies and the way that they carry out or don't carry out their clinical research. Talking about Big Pharma.
Sounds good.
I am intrigued to learn things.
I hope you learned something.
Yeah.
Chris, you've got a news topic you want to discuss.
Yes, I have something which is sick, and I'm really excited to go into it.
Yeah.
Because the headline is a bit of like, well, duh. But the article is actually really interesting.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Ooh, okay.
Nice.
And then, Alex, you've got weekly
quiz? I will be doing the weekly quiz this week.
Yeah.
Which is exciting. Last time you were on, Chris, I believe you hosted the quiz.
Yeah,
I did host the quiz.
And every question was, is it my mom or my dad?
Yes.
But today, every answer will be Alex Brown.
Well, you will get all of the questions wrong in that case.
That's what you think. New phone!
I have a new phone.
Nice.
But I shall be using this new phone, if you'll permit me, to tell you the story.
No, do it from memory.
Well, memory is relevant to this one because we're all familiar with Alzheimer's.
Fuck.
The condition that affects particularly the elderly. And in America, it affects at least 500,000 new patients every year.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a horrendous problem, increasing all the time. And it's usually to do with plaque forming on the brain. But scientists are now exploring the possible effects of inflammation, internal inflammation within the brain, on memory. So the chief kind of symptom, I guess, of Alzheimer's is memory loss. And there's a drug called Enbrel. That's the brand name for etanercept. And Enbrel was invented in the late 90s and achieved FDA approval to treat rheumatoid arthritis and psoriatic arthritis. So inflammation in the joints and on the skin.
Okay.
And yeah, that's how it works. It's an anti-inflammatory, and it was acquired by the massive drug company Pfizer in 2009, and the patent for it was extended in 2012 to continue up until 2028, I think. So in 2016, which is 3 years ago, researchers at Dartmouth and Harvard universities, so very well-established researchers, scientists at the top of their field, published a study that concluded that this drug, Enbrel, which treats arthritis, shows promise as a potential treatment for Alzheimer's, at least in the early stages of Alzheimer's. Fast forward 3 years to this very month, and the Washington Post obtained an internal document from Pfizer that revealed the pharmaceutical company's own researchers recommended a full clinical trial of Enbrel's effects on Alzheimer's in 2015, 1 year before this study from Harvard and Dartmouth universities.
Right.
Now, this recommendation was based on a 2015 study by Pfizer that suggested Enbrel reduced the risk of Alzheimer's by 64%.
Wow.
64%. That's amazing. That is huge. And the study, this is the internal Pfizer study, concluded that Enbrel, and I'm quoting here, Enbrel could potentially safely prevent, treat, and slow progression of Alzheimer's disease. So can you guess what Pfizer did?
Made £1 million per pill.
No.
But what? So why didn't they test it in 2015 then, if that's what they recommended?
Well, Pfizer declined to carry out any clinical trials and chose not to make their data public.
Why?
Yeah, we only know about this because of a leak to the Washington Post in June 2019. And we only know about Enbrel's potentially positive effects because of an independent study carried out by universities in 2016.
So they're suppressing a cure for Alzheimer's.
Well, maybe.
What could be the reason for that, though? Because surely there's not a monetary gain from people getting Alzheimer's.
Well, interestingly, the study by Pfizer's own scientists that was obtained by the Washington Post concluded that even if they found that Enbrel didn't have any positive effects on Alzheimer's and that the clinical trials proved them wrong, it would be worthwhile announcing that they were doing the trials anyway, because it would help the public image of Pfizer.
Yeah.
And that would lead to, in theory, benefits, because more people would be inclined to buy Pfizer's products over their competitors. But despite that recommendation, they declined to carry out further studies. And in January 2018, Pfizer announced it was shutting down its neurology division, which is where all their Alzheimer's treatments are researched, and it was getting rid of 300 employees. Now, Pfizer is not alone in this. It sells Enbrel outside the USA, but within North America, it's sold by another company called Amgen. Now, Amgen, because they sell Enbrel, which is owned by Pfizer, also knew of this internal study by Pfizer and decided not to carry out their own clinical trials. And both companies say that the only reason they did this was because the science said it was unlikely that Enbrel actually would have a positive effect. This preliminary study that they'd done internally, according to them, did not have sufficient scientific basis.
But is the 64% not enough?
So 64% figure is based on a study of insurance claims, because obviously everything in America is done through health insurance. So everybody who's treated for inflammation, arthritis, and Alzheimer's claims the treatments on their insurance. And what they were doing was they studied, I think it was 300,000 insurance claims.
Right.
Well, as in 300,000 patients' insurance claims. So it might have been multiple claims, but it was 300,000 different people. And they studied them and looked at the pattern between people, the correlation between Alzheimer's and Enbrel. And they found that there was a 64% likelihood, or a likelihood that 64% of people who were taking Enbrel were not developing Alzheimer's.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Oh, so they were taking it as a preventative measure rather than trying to stop early.
Well, what they were doing was they were taking Enbrel for their arthritis.
Oh.
But they noticed that people who weren't taking Enbrel, who were taking other drugs for their arthritis, were also developing Alzheimer's.
Right, yeah.
And so there's not really a scientific correlation there.
It's a correlation, but it's not necessarily a causation. Which
yeah, that's
is,
what I meant, yeah.
Yeah, which is Pfizer and Amgen's excuse. And to be honest, that sounds quite reasonable. Mm.
But they, so it was an internal memo or internal
study
that they did where they found that the science didn't add up and there was no justification for doing a trial in 2015. But we haven't seen that internal investigation, the science that we've seen.
So this is kind of the meat of the subject, which is It's perfectly possible that Pfizer and Amgen are correct in saying that there was bad science in this study and there wasn't enough to justify a clinical trial. And I'll give you some statistics on that in a moment. But the question is...
Get off your phone! Sorry.
Sorry. But the question is, should they have published the data anyway? Now, I'll give you two quotations to think about. One is from Christopher Edwards from the University of Southampton, who's a scientist who studies Alzheimer's, and he says, it's important that their data is published and in the public domain. It needs to be out there. Now, Bobby Farsides, who's a professor of clinical and biomedical ethics at Brighton and Sussex Medical School, says, having acquired the knowledge, refusing to disclose it to those who might act upon it hides a potential benefit to humanity, and thereby wrongs and probably harms those at risk of developing Alzheimer's by impeding research. So this ethics professor says, you should definitely publish your data even if you don't pursue it, because it, someone else might pursue it based on your conclusions. However, a law professor in America says that Pfizer and Amgen are not obliged to, legally, especially in America, and especially if experimental results show a negative result. And the problem with this study is that although it said, although the conclusion was it recommended clinical trials be carried out by Pfizer into the effects of Enbrel on Alzheimer's, it did not have conclusive results. So Pfizer legally can say, this study is scientifically unsound because we have no confirmed results, therefore we don't have to pursue it and we don't have to publish it.
It's interesting seeing those different perspectives from those university professors. So the scientists said, you should publish this because even if you don't, you know, move forward, it can help the scientific community. We can develop new things and help things. And then the law professor says, yeah, but they're not legally obliged to. It's like, well, yeah. But it's that interesting dynamic of a company being on the forefront of conducting scientific research so that they can make a product to then sell it back to people.
Yeah.
So science, they have all these peer reviews and go through the scientific process where they're trying to work collaboratively and use different people's research to ultimately make something good, make something that people can use, whereas companies are trying to make a product to sell to people. So it's a weird kind of dynamic of the company is also developing new things that are supposed to be good for humanity, but then they're marketing it as a product. And then it's also that element of if there's something that could be good, but they don't want to pursue it, then it makes sense for them to not give it away because then they're helping their competitors in a weird way.
That's depressing thought, isn't
it? It's depressing, even though that thing could really benefit humanity and stop Alzheimer's. Yes, I will.
Let me read you some statistics which might just reinforce what you've just said, which are the clinical trial to investigate Enbrel and Alzheimer's would take 4 years. It would involve up to 4,000 patients and it would cost at least $80 million. So obviously the justification for this would be, in the long term, it would make a big profit for Pfizer. $80 million is a lot of money. But of course, as we've already heard, in January 2018, they shut down their neurology department. So they were clearly planning to give up on that before they even considered this clinical trial. Now, the drug, Enbrel, although the patent was extended, it was extended in America, not outside America. So for Pfizer, they obtained it in 2009, but around the end of this decade, the patent will run out on Enbrel. And they won't be able to exclusively profit from it. And the revenue from Enbrel is going down anyway. In 2010, Pfizer earned $3.3 billion.
I mean, that's insane, isn't it?
That is insane.
It's going down, but still, that's insane. An insane amount of money.
So in 2018, which is just last year, they earned merely $2.1 billion
from it. Oh, how will they cope?
I mean, okay. How big is the company? That's the thing.
Yeah.
You got to think about all the employees, all the everythings, people who take too much money, people who do a lot of work, and 2.1 billion. It's probably not that much in comparison to in the scope of the whole thing.
And when you consider that you've got inflation as well, and in the space of 8 years, the revenue from Enbrel has gone down by 1 billion or one third. Then that's from a business perspective, that seems quite...
Yeah, and then cutting down, like...
Yeah.
I mean, is that one third of the company that they got rid of, like the neurology department?
Well, I imagine it's a small part of Pfizer. Mm. I didn't actually check how many employees Pfizer has, but they're a global company.
Yeah.
Okay, and they're worth hundreds of billions of dollars, so...
Mm. I can see what, like, obviously, yeah, the law professor has the point of, like, they're not legally obligated to do it. And it's like, no, they're not. Mm. But ethically, it's a thing that can impact humanity. And you can definitely see that it's some, like, top businessman who has no idea about anything and just wants statistics and money.
Yeah.
Saying, like, no, we can't do it because what if we open it again in the future? And, and it just feels like it's just that. And it's, like, just a soulless machine man going like, no, we have to hold on to our own patent.
I'm so glad you said that, Chris, because that is exactly the can of worms that this news, as revealed by the Washington Post, has opened, which is, should business executives be in charge of something as important as medical treatments, which they effectively are? The system we've built around the world, it's not just America, is that private enterprise seeks profit and develops medical treatments for profit. And if they don't make a profit, they don't pursue them. So what kind of, you know, medical advances could we have made, could we be making, if they weren't profit driven?
I feel like in that situation, I don't feel like having someone who doesn't know anything about medicine, but knows a lot about business, shouldn't be the only head. I feel like having someone who knows a lot about business being high up is important, because it's like, how do you do anything then? Because you need someone who knows how to run capitalism. But then they would need someone from a medical field as well in this situation.
Yeah.
And they're on the same par. They're on the same level. They discuss things together. Yeah. They are told things together. Yeah. I feel like that would be something good to happen.
Yeah,
that's a sentence.
No, that sounds good. Yeah.
To play devil's advocate for a moment, don't actually...
It's a pinball game. Sorry.
I don't actually... I don't necessarily hold this viewpoint, but one argument for how business is a good place to, you know, be in charge of this field is that... So if you, like, publicly fund all this research into medicine, there's no...
steamy jizz.
There's no drive for them to complete that research if they know that they're consistently getting public funding. Whereas businesses, at the very least, you know that if there's a profit in that, then they're going to fiercely work for that and go for it until it turns into a product.
That is a really good point. And I'd say there is definitely a reputation, isn't there, for certain scientists in academia kind of just endlessly researching something and never actually making any progress because they're just, it provides them a livelihood. That's I don't know if that's true, but that certainly seems to be a stigma.
Yeah, this, I think it definitely is a thing. Like that, like there's certain scientists who don't mind having the tenure, having the they can just do research forever, and then just maybe flubbing it off and living paycheck to paycheck on something that's okay. But there are people who want to make advancements in the world. I think that I think that, and saying that they want to make an impact on humanity, is true for anything in anyone in any field. Not true for everyone, but anyone can have the capacity to want that.
And I assume scientists in
particular,
are particularly keen on making an impact, and not just for egotistical reasons. It's what they're driven to do. Science is all about progress and making breakthroughs. I would say kind of a counter devil's advocate to what you just said, Alex, is, although that's a very good point, how many technologies that we benefit from today in everyday life that have been privatized and are profitable for big companies were developed by the military with public funding?
It's a very good point. It's an excellent point.
You know, and those technologies were invented in a specific time frame for a specific purpose, and, you know, they were completed. They weren't just endlessly, you know.
And again, though, that in that kind of public funded way, there was a drive to build a lot of those technologies. Maybe not so much these days, but I guess, you know, look at the atomic bomb that was developed quickly and needed to be finished because there was a world war and they wanted to win. But yeah, no, I mean, that is a very good point. So are we saying that everything should just be developed by the military.
Like someone with the military.
Moral of the story.
Military might be better at it. I suppose they must be developing some medical stuff because it would be useful for them to have certain medical treatments in the field, right?
I mean, I feel like in that situation with the military, it might be the counter for it. So they learn how to do certain medical procedures and stuff so they can do the opposite. And flip it, like with bio warfare.
Oh, that's an excellent point. Yeah.
This is my phone now.
As by way of a kind of conclusion, if you like, I can read you 2 points, scientific, related to Enbrel, anti-inflammatories, and Alzheimer's. Bear in mind, and these are facts, on the one hand, it's still scientifically very inconclusive whether anti-inflammatory drugs have a positive effect on early Alzheimer's. And Enbrel is an anti-inflammatory. Also, more importantly, the molecules for Enbrel are too large to cross the blood-brain barrier, and therefore they can't actually affect inflammation within the brain. All they can do is affect inflammation outside the brain.
Oh, okay.
So there's a big argument that even if you think, or a lot of scientists are saying, even if anti-inflammatory drugs could help with Alzheimer's, Enbrel isn't actually the best choice because it can't get into the brain.
Mm-hmm. Right.
On the other hand, researchers from Johns Hopkins Institute and our friend Christopher Edwards from the University of Southampton say that evidence suggests external brain inflammation does have an effect on Alzheimer's. And therefore, drugs like Enbrel, even if they can't get inside the brain, would still have a positive effect. And of course, Christopher Edwards says in particular that at the very least, Pfizer's data should be made public because it's one of the few drugs that there is some data on that suggests it could have an effect on Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
So I'd just like to know your thoughts.
I do agree that Pfizer should have released the information just from an ethical standpoint, especially since they were closing the neurology department. Like, they could have left it up until that point and then released it in 2018.
Yeah.
That just would have made sense.
Yeah.
Maybe it just got forgotten about in a file. Who knows?
It does sound like they're suppressing information like that, doesn't it?
But a full stop and a new paragraph, because there's a whole different situation. I feel like stuff like this, to try and understand Alzheimer's, we need to understand the brain better because scientists don't. We as humanity don't really know the brain at all. Mm. And linking to Tourette's, scientists don't even know the bit in the brain where Tourette's comes from.
Oh,
so
right.
I mean, this might have changed. This might change in the future. As far as I understand from, I think my research was like 6 months ago, scientists don't know where Tourette's is located.
Mm. There's so much to be done, isn't there?
Mm. Yeah.
So much to be done. So should every avenue, regardless of how unlikely it might seem, should that be always
pursued? I think it should be something that's always in consideration. Because you never know, like, if a drug like, not Pfizer.
Enbrel.
How it can negatively impact the brain in a different way.
Yeah.
Mm. And it's just like with anxiety medication, like anti-anxiety medication can cause depression and vice versa. Until we understand the brain better, I think it's something that should always be on the top of every neurologist's mind when trying to develop drugs like this.
Mm.
Yeah.
Which doesn't feel like it was something that was considered.
I would agree with you. And I think following on from that, any avenue that can possibly lead to more research in this is what should be prioritized, whether it's led through business or through like publicly funded projects, then the focus should always be on advancing scientific understanding of the brain, whether it's Tourette's or Alzheimer's or anxiety, depression, that kind of thing.
Well, I was only using Tourette's as an example because it's something that is like, I don't know what it is. So like, how can you know other things?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I see. Alzheimer's, doesn't it? I don't know if you've both experienced this, but hasn't it always been one of those things that a cure has always been 2 years away? It's always, read in the news, they've cured Alzheimer's and then nothing happens with it. And then 2 years later, in 2 years, Alzheimer's will be cured. And it's just like, when is it actually going
to
happen?
I think there are two kind of aspects to that. The first is that the media overreports everything and exaggerates. Yeah. The second is that scientists just kind of sitting on their laurels and trying to have a career, they will always promise to cure something and say, oh, we're close, keep funding us. And that's how it's presented. But I have friends, actually, who they don't research Alzheimer's, but they research diseases and things like that. And genuinely, and so one of them, for instance, has been looking at malaria for a decade or so. And every time I speak to them, I was just like, how's it going? And they say, oh, we're close. Yeah. We're very close. And usually what happens is they solve one aspect of it, and then they realize there's another aspect which they didn't anticipate, which they haven't been able to do that because they didn't realize it was there. And it's like kind of like opening doors, and you're just like, aha, once we open that door, we'll have solved it. And you open it, and there's another door behind it. You're like, oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Well, it's like isn't it the case of every disease, every neurological disorder has different strands that may not even be originally noticeable.
Yeah. It's like cancer. People say, oh, there's a cure for cancer. Just like, which cancer? And Alzheimer's, I guess there must be different kinds of forms of it. It's the same thing.
Like, the cancer is the biggest thing that we know, that there's different forms of it, different places they can exist. But it's the same with everything.
It was like, the last thing I remember in terms of like a serious cure for Alzheimer's was doctors saying that the best way to treat Alzheimer's is to prevent it by stopping people getting old.
We've entered dystopia.
I don't think they were talking about Logan's Run style killing everyone over the age of 30, but
well, isn't that kind of true, because humanity as a species can't really sustain themselves after the age of like 40?
Is that right? I think that's right, because
we just degrade so much, because isn't it
Well, you start
cells stop. You were going to say. Sorry,
I was going to say. Yeah, your bodily cells stop reproducing. Is it age 25 or something?
Yeah, 25, 30,
and your brain cells start to break down again in your 20s. It's scary how early it starts, but it's just like the rate gets worse, and you're still, like you say, I guess you're a functioning human being and functioning brain until you hit your 40s, and that's when kind of like it starts getting really rubbish.
Well, thanks, guys. I didn't realize I was due for it, but I've now had a midlife crisis. So thanks for this.
It's funny. I wonder if the concept of a midlife crisis existed 300 years ago, because midlife crisis would have been like, I'm 18.
In the dark ages.
Yeah, everything was so much worse.
Average lifespan's 30.
Well, the whole midlife crisis thing is because of existentialism. So.
Yeah.
Probably not. People have so much bigger things to deal with.
It's true.
I was like, am I going to get food? Am I going to die from a rat bite?
So we're unique in that we have a luxury of being able to have a midlife crisis.
Yes.
First world problems.
Fair.
Please share your thoughts in the comments below on YouTube, or by emailing us at alltimeconspiracies@gmail.com or commenting on our Twitter feed. Speaking of your comments and your thoughts, Alex, do we have any reviews, comments this week?
We do indeed.
Ooh.
Or any like just bizarre product reviews that you found online?
So first, I want to head over to Apple Podcasts, which I got right this week.
We had a discussion before we started recording about the name of Apple Podcasts.
Didn't say iTunes. So yeah, we've had a couple more reviews, both 5 stars, which is so lovely. Thanks, guys. So EJ... Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chris.
So EJP89, which is a catchy name.
That's a good name.
Says, the best podcast. There isn't a better podcast out there. Their YouTube channel is also one of my favorites. Keep up the good work, guys. Would be great if you could release more than one a week.
Oh,
which,
whoa.
I don't know if we could do that, but
I mean,
thank you very much for
That's, wow, what a ringing endorsement.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. EJP, was it?
EJP89. Yeah.
Do you think they're born in 89? Is that what that means?
Well, I think possibly.
Maybe.
I'm really glad you enjoy it. And yeah, well, you never know. If we get organized enough, maybe we can do more than one podcast a week, but we'll see.
We'll see. And Jem Ferret says, excellent podcast. Awesome podcast. Nice to hear you guys chatting ideas through and being natural. Love the YouTube channel too. Always great topics. Thank you. Oh. So that was, thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for reviewing.
Do you think her surname is Ferret, or do you think she is a ferret?
It's a good question. Maybe it's a nickname. I don't know.
I'd be impressed if an actual ferret. I was going to say is watching our podcast or listening to it, but actually typing on a computer is kind of more impressive than listening to our podcast.
It's very true.
But, you know, thank you for that. That was really great. And every review really helps our podcast, particularly on Apple Podcasts.
Yeah.
Really helps it reach more people, and that's fantastic. And actually, if anyone's interested, we'll go into YouTube comments in a moment, but we have reached $300 on our Patreon.
Yeah.
Get the confetti cannon!
Woo! Our Patreon supporters for $1 a month will get an exclusive extra podcast each week, a little mini podcast which goes straight to them. And in addition, because we've reached $300 on our podcast, we'll be doing a behind the scenes look for all our supporters as to how we make these videos happen. And in addition to that,
there's too many additions.
There is another one because I keep forgetting what we have to say. But there's we hit our target for the pizza party, our monthly pizza party Q&A, where our Patreon supporters can send in their questions and we'll be answering them. And we will be doing that very, very soon. Martin's away on holiday, but once he's back, we'll be doing that. And it'll be going up on YouTube for all of you to see.
So a lot of comments on our last podcast. Mm-hmm. One that I do want to bring up. Now, this was a point of contention in the quiz last week. There was a question on snooker. I don't know if you remember it.
Yeah,
but you awarded the point to
Martin. I did give the point to Martin because he seemed to have the gist of the question.
Well, I don't want to say I was petty, especially given I won the quiz.
Did you look it up?
I did look it up. Oh. And also, I was prompted to look it up because Dara Coleman said Martin described a plant in snooker, not a cannon.
Martin was wrong.
How dare he?
Yep.
Mistake a plant from a cannon?
Well, the thing is, Chris, you say that, but he got awarded the point.
He did get the point.
And no, I'm not. Unjust.
I'm not saying like, oh, it's so stupid. I'm saying like, I understand.
Yes. It's a type of move?
Yes.
Shot. Type of shot in snooker. And
you shouldn't shoot people in snooker. That's rude.
I mean, it's an easy way to win, though. And Martin got it wrong. Whoops. I gave him the point and he shouldn't have done. But he lost the quiz anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
Okay, yeah. I was being a bit petty, but I just wanted to point that out. So we got
you.
It wrong.
I'm glad somebody in our audience knew the answer to that. Thank you for clarifying that. That's really good to know.
And Fonzie55 says...
What a great name.
Fonzie or Fonzie?
Fonzie.
Fonzie, yeah.
As in the Fonz, I guess.
Hey.
Ben Affleck is making a movie about the Ghost Army.
Oh, is he?
Very excited. Great podcast, as always.
That's weird, because we mentioned...
A Batman!
We mentioned Argo, didn't we, when we were talking about
it? Yeah, it kind of makes sense, doesn't it?
Of course he would.
It was a story that is like, how has this not been turned into a movie? So it'll be interesting to see what they do with that. So we have one more comment?
Yeah, please.
So Rocket Summer says, best part of my week, always makes me smile. I'm waiting for payday so I can get a conspiracies collage hoodie. Join the team. Yeah,
because join the team.
That is a really cool design.
That is a good one. It looks a lot cooler printed on the shirt in person than I thought it would. And I was already behind the design. That's really great. And for everyone else, there should be on YouTube a banner beneath the video with links to our merch. So go ahead. And there'll be more designs coming in the near future.
So thanks for all your comments and keep them coming in, and we might read them out next week. Who knows?
Chris,
yes,
you have a story for us. A news item?
News item, yes.
Yeah, very intriguing at the beginning of the video. You didn't quite.
I wanted it to be a surprise. Yeah, it's kind of tagging a bit on to when I was on last time when I had a massive freak out over time travel.
Oh, yeah.
So it's stop, I'm talking. I'm sorry. So this article, it starts with the headline, which is a big duh. Time travel is possible, but you will have to travel to a parallel universe.
Duh.
Which has been a contested thing for quite a few years.
So they're saying now that you can't. So if I travel back like a week, I would only go into a parallel universe.
Well, it's actually really interesting, this, because I like talking about trousers. I do. I really like trousers. Because the thing is that time travel isn't possible because there's only one now in this universe. Time is linear, and how we perceive it is linear. And an example that they use that's later on in what I'm saying. So time travel isn't possible because we can't affect our linear now.
Right.
Which kind of works and kind of makes sense because...
Yeah.
We perceive time as a linear stream.
Yeah.
Everything that we know perceives time as a linear stream.
Right.
Stream, other than gravity, which affects time differently. Because have you seen the example of like the big mesh thing?
And
And how did you see Interstellar?
Yeah.
There's it talks a lot about that. Yeah.
Distortion of time there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it is fascinating, considering that and how the only way to time travel is to go to a different now, which it doesn't mention it at all in this article, but I think it kind of relates to N-theory in the fact that every decision has a different universe, where that decision is key.
Oh, right. There's like a, so, it's like a garden rake way.
Yeah.
Our time is at the end of the staff, and then the potential futures are the kind of fronds of the different, you know, like fingers. Different, yeah.
Like, I always think of it like a phrase string.
So there's one that's string. Probably a better example. My analogy is weak.
Who uses a garden rake as an example?
God, Robin, no one has guns anymore. It's the apocalypse. So with the idea of the garden rake or the string and having the different universes that fray from a similar universe, that means everything kind of has a similar start. Mm. And like the decision, I believe the decisions can be as minor as, did you pick your nose or not?
Oh, really?
In that particular moment. I believe that that's how it can affect.
Whoa.
Yeah.
It's like butterfly effect.
Yeah, it's basically the butterfly effect.
Yeah.
But to a much more extreme... Yeah, extreme level.
Yeah, like the smallest decision.
Yeah, that's what I think, and I feel like that makes the most sense. So the only way to time travel is to travel to these different nows. And like the article has like this guy called Marshall Barnes, who is an independent researcher who is a specialist in temporal physics and advanced concept science and technology. And he has like loads of quotes. And I'm assuming he was trying, because there's a lot of the time when he says now and it's in capital letters and it's like, babe, you can use italics. That's something you can do if you want to exaggerate a point. There's like this long quote that I'm going to read all of because it's really fascinating.
Okay.
So I want to shit on your trousers. That isn't the quote. So it says, if time didn't exist, nothing could move, vibrate, change, or etc. Since it does, then time is real, and it is time that allows those things, and space is where they happen. And does that kind of make sense? Okay.
Yeah.
So nothing could happen. And the example that he uses is with a shutter from a potato camera. So like if time didn't exist, then the shutter wouldn't work because it wouldn't close. We couldn't affect the aperture of the camera,
right,
how much light it takes in, because, and then we couldn't see the after image. That in itself is the reason why time exists, and how, like, we can prove that time exists.
That's kind of cool, actually.
Yeah, I never thought about that. Yeah.
So it is very interesting.
It's a better analogy than a garden rake.
So, like, then he goes on to say, special relativity already describes how there is no such thing as a universal now and provides for the ability to experience a variety of nows, which I kind of feel like makes sense as well, because there's a mathematician thing where there's like, there's only one infinity, and it's like, no, there's not one infinity. Everything has its own infinity because of the fact that, what you call it, matter cannot be eradicated. It can only be changed.
Okay.
It can't be created. Can't be.
Yeah, because energy is constant and just transfers.
Energy is constant. Yeah.
Yeah.
So like an orange has an infinity because it starts off as the original, as a completely different thing, and evolved into the orange. And over time, because the orange is infinity, splits off to make other oranges because of the tree and the seeds that are within the orange.
Okay.
And even if the orange doesn't have a seed in it, because seedless oranges and seedless fruit, it becomes the mush, which then becomes some like fuel for something else. It has its constant infinity, and it's the same with anything.
Ooh.
Circle of life.
It literally is a circle of life. And saying that there's only one infinity, that is to do with numbers, which is a concept that we have made up as humanity, and it doesn't exist in nature. Like, it's kind of a backwards way of thinking, I believe, at least.
Is it accurate to say every particle of energy has its own infinity?
I would say so. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
I mean, I'm not a scientist. I'm just very passionate about time travel. He said that physical experiments show that new nows have been created in parallel universes, which kind of works with the string, with the fraying of the... So the only way to time travel is to go to another universe. And there's been experiments into this, and these experiments resulted in identical types of results and predicted by German astrophysicist Rainer Plaga, or Plager, Plaga, in his 1995 proposal for experiments that would be able to detect parallel universes. So I think the whole thing is that time travel would be possible if we could connect to parallel universes. And there's other things saying that, are black holes connections to parallel universes? Maybe. We don't know. We didn't even know
who's going to go into one.
Who's
going
to go into one to find out? Because they're not going to get back.
Let's round up Matthew McConaughey.
Let's just throw him in. And like we don't know what black holes do. Yeah, we know that they crush the matter, but we don't know if it's just a hole into something else.
Yeah,
we don't know if it's just like a fraying glass. To use that as an example.
Ooh. Oh man,
this is blowing my mind.
We didn't even know if there is a universe that connects through a black hole, if that universe has matter differently than we do, because they crush the matter, but do they metamorphosize the matter? There's not a black hole close enough for us to actually properly measure.
So are you saying that these parallel universes don't necessarily reflect our own universe?
I don't know. We don't even know about our universe and what other things there could be in our universe. There could be a planet out there that's a triangle. We don't know.
Yeah. That would be actually quite cool. Yeah, triangle planet.
So we can travel back in time if we enter a parallel universe is what it's saying.
I'm not entirely sure if it just said back in time.
Because I know that there's the forward in time angle, which is...
traveling at the speed of light.
Yeah. Or faster than the speed of light.
Yeah.
Because you're traveling literally faster than light can go. And that's interesting. So if there's a star 1,000 light years away, we're seeing the light from 1,000 years ago. So we're looking at it in the past.
Mm.
But if you traveled 1,000 times the speed of light, right? Or just faster than the speed of light, and you ended up there, you'd get there 1,000 years ago, 1,000 years before you set off. Right? And then you travel back, but you'd be here at this pretty much the same time, or however long it took to travel.
Everyone on Earth would age more than you did,
Imagine if there was an alien civilization that we knew about on a star 1,000 light years away. And we were on Earth observing that star, and we saw it supernova.
Right.
We had faster than light travel. Could we go to that star and warn them and say, "Look, your star's about to explode in 1,000 years"?
Yeah, I feel like no, because
the light that we're seeing from the supernova is
already happening / happened.
It's happening.
And the gravity from the supernova would be bigger than our gravity, so we don't even know if it happened 1,000 years ago or not.
Yeah,
I would say at least.
This is so weird.
We're seeing the past when we look at starlight, aren't we?
But what I'm saying is, if you travel faster than light to get there, then you're
traveling into the future with that method.
Hard to wrap my head around.
Yeah, it is just.
It's a nice sentiment, though. I like the fact that your first thought was, "Can we save an alien civilization from destruction by traveling faster than the speed of light?" The answer is no. But
what a question, though.
What a question.
Hashtag Wednesday thoughts.
Yeah, that should be the sequel to Interstellar. Should be Matthew McConaughey saving an alien race.
Yeah, by traveling into the fifth dimension somehow.
All right.
I can only think of him in Magic Mike. I can't think of him in anything else. Every time I see him, it's like, "Oh, yeah, you have a good body."
He had a good body. The I'm just amazed he's talking about experiments proving parallel universes.
It doesn't go into the article doesn't go into detail about it.
I'd like to know more about that, but that's there's so much awesome mind-blowing stuff in that article. Thank you, Chris. That was incredible.
But I think the thing about the whole experiments into it, I don't feel it's actual experiments. I feel like it's speculation plus the observation of atoms.
Right.
Yeah, because it's like
that kind of experiment, not an actual.
Like they got a telescope and they kind of shoved it into a space-time portal. And it's like, "Oh, that's me."
Hello, me from Parallel Universe.
Yeah.
That'd be great. Quiz time?
Yeah, definitely. I have failed to sound smart in this discussion about time travel. I will now make you both sound like idiots with this quiz.
Yeah, I think Chris is going to win this.
Am I?
Yeah.
So welcome to the quiz this week. As always, there'll be 10 questions plus a bonus question. Robin, this week you'll be representing All Time Conspiracies.
I will.
In the face-off against 101 Facts.
I feel like the
fuck.
Name.
Now, Chris, you go through 101 facts every week,
so you probably know a lot more than I do.
I'm expecting good things.
Oh, lower your expectations. I didn't even know what video I edited last week. Like, was it Poland?
It was Poland. Yeah. Yes. So, Robin, would you like to show me your buzzer?
Recognize it?
Was that Jurassic Park?
No.
World? Godzilla.
Kind of sounds a bit like it now you mentioned it. No, it's Arkham Asylum. It's the chime that we hear every time the Joker is about to make an announcement.
Oh, fair enough.
I've never played the games.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you're missing out.
Okay.
And Chris, what is your buzzer?
This.
That was majestic.
Lovely. Okay, so this quiz will mainly focus on news from the past few weeks.
Great.
Oh dear.
You say that. There are some questions in there that I think you'll both get, and there are some closest wins that, you know, will guarantee someone
guarantee
gets a point.
Yay!
And if you're watching along, then play along as well. See, let us know what score you get.
Yeah.
Okay, so question one.
So I'm going to do this hand so my hands don't mock my face, because that's rude for the camera.
I know that you both are, you know, into your football, so...
What?
You put a football...
Was this made for Martin?
Oh. Listen. The FIFA Women's World Cup began this week. Can you tell me what team are the reigning champions?
That was majestic.
Oh, no!
I'm going to go with Chris.
The answer is no.
Okay.
I ticked.
The answer is also no.
Do you want to have a guess?
I know it's not Jamaica, because...
You can't rule them out.
They're out.
What? We're going to go through every single country. It's like, well, it's not Australia.
Yeah, I need a guess.
France.
Is that
Are you joking?
I thought it was for a moment.
It's not, no.
I was going to see the C1, you have to bleep me out. Like.
Yeah. Okay, one more guess each.
Jesus.
Let me give you a clue. They don't tend to do very well in the men's football.
West Arkansas. England.
I said England, so England.
That's not England.
Oh. Okay. They don't tend to do very well in the men's. That's, what, half the countries in the world? What? Yeah. This is why.
America?
It is the United States.
Surely.
They won the Women's World Cup in the previous... Yeah, the previous Women's World Cup, they're reigning champions. So.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, good job, ladies. You're better than the guys, because, you know.
Yeah.
So that's 1-0 to Chris.
Yay.
Question two. Who did Forbes name as the richest female singer in the world this week?
That was majestic.
Chris?
Ariana Grande?
It's not Ariana Grande.
Okay.
It is Rihanna.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is surprising. I don't know.
Because she hasn't released an album for a couple of years.
Three years. It's because of a new range of products that she's promoting,
Beauty products.
Yeah.
I was just like, Ariana Grande, that's a female singer that I know.
But yeah, I think it's $600 million she's worth.
Wow, really?
That's a lot of beans.
I mean, that's a lot of money, but that's also not as much as I'd have thought.
Yeah.
Because
you would have thought it'd be like in the billions.
Yeah, I'd have thought so. Like at least a billion for the
probably
richest.
Sexism.
Probably. Mm. Yeah.
Okay, question three. A few weeks ago, Iranian police arrested 30 people for wearing inappropriate clothing. What were they doing?
That was majestic.
Chris?
Wearing bikinis?
I don't know what they were wearing, but what were they doing?
Well, now that's misleading. Gonna say shorts.
Stop being majestic.
I'm sorry for the misleading question, but I'll let you both buzz again. And
wild stab in the dark, to be honest.
Okay, go for it, Robin.
Oh
yeah, you get.
Like, I thought you were gonna have a guess.
I mean, whatever I said is gonna be a wild stab in the dark. Yeah. Were they swimming?
They were not swimming.
Oh.
So Iranian police. I'm guessing it is in Iran then.
I would assume so.
Yeah.
Across the border.
We don't know.
It could be.
So I give you a clue?
Yeah.
You are along the right lines in that it was a form of exercise.
That was majestic.
Were they running?
They were not running.
Okay.
Wait, what do you do?
When you exercise.
Yeah. That isn't running.
That was majestic.
Weightlifting?
It's not weightlifting, so I give you both another clue. Or do you want
Swahili? Swahili!
I'll give you another guess, Robin, and then I'll give you another clue.
Oh,
Okay. Just say a word. That's not a word.
Okay, fine. I'll give you another clue. It's a popular exercise activity that kind of rich people in the West do now. It's become quite popular.
Is it yoga?
It is yoga.
Okay, I was going to say Zumba until you said that. Yeah.
But interestingly, another detail, Iran outlawed yoga and they've also outlawed Zumba in 2017 to go along with it. Yeah, which is weird because this was in a private yoga class, which is weird.
Outlawing exercise.
So that's...
I mean, honestly, with all the homophobia in Iran, I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
So that's 2-1 to Chris. Question 4.
Oh, dear.
This is a very recent piece of news, actually. The band Radiohead were hacked recently, with over 18 hours of unfinished recording stolen and ransomed back to them for $150,000.
True.
What was their response to the hack?
That was majestic.
That was a good response.
That was majestic.
Is that their response? Is that your answer? Yeah. I don't know if that's what they said, but that's not what...
Oh, it's a do, not a...
It's a do. Robin.
You can go first, Chris. You didn't
have a
guess.
That's a super creepy buzzer.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it?
No, I mean, that was like, I didn't know. So majestic.
Okay. Did they actually release it themselves?
I'm going to give you the point. Yes, they did. They released all 18 hours up for free to Bandcamp. In aid of Extinction Rebellion.
Well done.
Oh, nice. So it's a good response. Yeah. What a good response. Yeah. Credit to them. So that's 2-2. So see, look, you're both getting points. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's not like still guesses. Like.
Who's guessing?
Okay. Question 5.
5.
What did the Queen gift to Donald Trump on the first day of his state visit?
Oh, gosh.
That was majestic.
A Yorkshire pudding.
It was not a Yorkshire pudding.
Okay. No.
Gave him something.
Gave him
presumably
something.
Presumably a real object that he would take back with him.
Like a Yorkshire pudding.
It was not consumable, I'll say. Unless he tried really hard.
That was majestic.
A corgi?
It was not a
corgi. Oh, she wouldn't corgi. Give a prized no, corgi to not. Him.
Yeah, I wasn't saying like one of her like nice ones. Oh. Like
she loves corgis. She wouldn't put them to
she
the
loves corgis
torture of him. I genuinely don't know.
So I give you a clue. So it relates to a historical figure that Donald Trump has claimed he admires in the past.
Abraham Lincoln.
Not Abraham Lincoln.
George Washington.
No.
George Washington.
Someone
his dad. From he talks about his dad all the time.
Someone from the UK.
George
UK.
Washington. Helena Bonham Carter.
Okay, so I tell
you. Well, I know that Piers Morgan gave him a hat in the style of Winston Churchill. So
that was majestic.
A Winston Churchill cane?
No,
so
I mean
she might have his cigars or something.
It is Winston Churchill, but I'm not going to give you the point because neither of you got it.
Okay,
so what is it?
It was a first edition copy of Winston Churchill's account of World War II.
Right,
which was kind of seen as a like little sly statement she was making almost, and that this was someone who he admired and this was an account of Winston Churchill's, you know, account of World War II.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, I don't know, people saw it as a learn from the past kind of moment.
Right.
You know,
neither
of you watch Game of Thrones, do you? Do you watch Game of Thrones? No.
Yeah.
Never mind. I should stop, really. I keep wanting to relate everything back to Game of Thrones.
That's fine. That's a sign of a good show.
Have more personality traits. I'm sorry.
Wow. Biting.
So it's
cutting.
3-2 to Robin.
No, I didn't get that point. Although, you know, giving him a book, we know he's not going to read it. So.
Yeah, the point would have been lost on him. But oh well. But question 6, speaking of gifts... What happened to the gift given to Donald Trump by French President Emmanuel Macron last year? Robin.
It died.
It did die. It was a tree meant to symbolise the friendship between France and the United States. And apparently it died several weeks after after he gave it to them. So there you go.
That's probably not that unusual. It's just that you don't hear about it. But it's still far too beautiful in irony to ignore.
But it's also kind of I could almost imagine France like doing it on purpose, giving them a tree that they know won't survive in that climate, just so in a few weeks the US is going to get really bad press.
That's a good idea,
actually. I was like, oh, they didn't water it.
Yeah, but I think in the future they'll learn from this mistake and only gift them huge, massive statues in future, like, you know, like, Statue of Liberty, which was also
I think from France. Again, I think America kind of lost the message there, didn't they?
Okay, so that is 3-2 to Robin now.
Hey!
Okay. So, question 7.
Ooh.
This week, we saw the return of one of gaming's largest conferences with E3.
Damn it, that was probably my answer.
go on, Chris.
I was going to say, it's E3! That was what I thought it was
thinking too. I didn't know. E3.
This is why you've got to wait until the question.
Alex learned from bitter experience when he leapt. He jumped the gun a few weeks ago, didn't you, Alex?
I did. But what celebrity was revealed as having a major role in an upcoming game? Reeves. It is Keanu Reeves,
Shuckle.
What's the game, Robin?
Cyberpunk 2077?
That is correct, yes. You don't get a point for that.
So it was new. That was a surprise.
That was a surprise.
Because I remember seeing it thinking, oh, I didn't know he was in that.
No,
no one did. Yeah, no one did. I wasn't alone. That's
it's remarkable they managed to keep it a secret for so long because they've been working on it.
He's timed this all very well. He's got Toy Story 4 and everyone's like, he's the best thing about it.
Yeah.
He's got John Wick Chapter 3, which is brilliant. Bill and Ted's on the horizon and he's got Cyberpunk 2077.
It really is his year, isn't
he's
it?
He's got it. He's got
fair
it.
Enough.
Hopefully it's all, I think, everything he's doing with Toy Story and John Wick, the entire trilogy, and Cyberpunk 2077 is all just backdoor marketing for Bill and Ted 3. I think that's all it's about.
That's all he's doing.
That'd be great.
Okay. Question 8.
Yeah.
And this could be a question for you, Chris. Not to put any pressure, but it is also closest wins.
Is it Pokemon?
Oh, no.
In total, this includes all the spin-offs, everything that they've made, how many Pokemon games have been made?
That was majestic.
30?
Out of everything, like even their spin-offs. No, we've gone with 30 now.
I'm gonna say 52.
It's 122, Chris.
Whoa!
Yeah. It's all their party games, all their like Pokemon Go. Yeah. Like, there's
Pokemon
and
Safari.
Then, and then every that? Single generation, they've got like three different variants.
That is true. Yeah.
See, that's what I was just thinking of, like
the main game.
Yeah, because I don't care about the spin-offs.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, that's fair.
I was like, maybe 20.
Okay, so that is 4.
I mean, give me a statistic about
4-3?
Pokemon.
4-3?
Right?
4-3, Chris got the. 4-3
to Robin.
Ooh, it was closer. I mean, the final question.
No, question 9. But this is. I was kind of thinking Chris was going to get that one. So this is. I don't know. You're both.
You're really talking him down, Alex. You're very patronizing.
Well within the. You both could get this.
Everything.
Okay.
So sexist.
So I would recommend you wait until the end of this question. And then also it's a kind of question where there's, I want multiple answers and whoever can give me the most amount of answers is going to win.
I was not on board for multiple choice questions, Alex Brown.
It's not multiple choice.
Answers questions, Alex Brown.
I want a list answer.
Okay.
Just because I work for a listicle.
The United Kingdom is currently accepting applications for the next Prime Minister. There are currently 10 people in the running, although that may have changed by the time this podcast this goes out. Yeah. Whoever can name the most gets the point.
Oh, for crap.
I know one.
You go ahead.
Boris Johnson.
Boris
That's
Johnson,
why he's
so
gonna
you
win
can't,
an election.
So you can't use it?
Okay, I will name first. I shall just do this.
Robin.
An appropriately sinister beginning for... So the only ones I can name, obviously there's Boris Johnson, Michael Gove, Esther McVeigh, Dominic Raab, Sajid Javid, Jeremy Hunt.
Yes.
Is Andrea Leadsom in it again?
She is. Remarkably.
Three more.
So that's six.
Oh, Rory Stewart.
Yep.
So two more. I assume they're not going to
win. I mean,
win.
You've
if
won.
I haven't heard of them, then the general population definitely won't have heard of them.
Shall I tell you the last two?
I'm trying to think if I can remember.
It is two people that you...
Yeah.
I mean, you've super won, so you're just showing off now. Doing a victory lap.
Yes, let's go. Go ahead.
Matt Hancock and Mark Harper are also
I heard Mark Harper said something stupid yesterday, didn't he? Or something.
Did you say Dominic Raab?
I did, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Because he and Boris Johnson are the front runners, which is inspiring, just inspiring. And I amused you yesterday with a statistic. So there have been many, many political polls, obviously, surveys being carried out in the process of choosing a new prime minister for Britain since Theresa May stepped down. And there was a poll last night, which surveyed the general population, not just supporters of the Tory party, asking who is the most prime ministerial of the candidates. And Boris Johnson was the leader, but the result was 53% of the population thought he wasn't suitable to be prime minister, and he was still the winner. And then there was an internal Conservative Party poll, which I muted with yesterday, which is rating the candidates out of 10 for their ability to lead the country. And again, Boris Johnson was the winner with 4.5 out of 10. this is the state of our politics, people.
It really is a race to the bottom, isn't it?
It really is.
This is why I don't pay attention to politics, because I just get so bummed out.
Yeah.
I just can't. It just can't do it for mental health.
We need a generation of actual competent people who are honest and not just self-serving.
Where are they?
Well, they're not interested in politics. That's the problem. Anyway,
so that's 5-3 to Robin as we
I've
go on to
already
question
lost.
10. But you can reclaim some dignity with a bonus question as well at the end. So question 10. Over 1 million people protested in Hong Kong this week. Oh. But can you tell me why? Did you even know this was
in
the news?
Know
be
this
honest.
Was a thing, yeah.
And that was majestic.
Chris.
The continued separation from China?
Oh. It's not a bad one.
Do you know what? I'm going to give you the point. It's a bit vague.
Pity point.
It's a little bit vague, but it does relate to that. So they are protesting because...
Potatoes.
Yeah, they're potatoes. Because of a new bill that was introduced that would allow criminals to be extradited to China. And I think it's specifically after someone from China fled to Hong Kong.
Right.
And China's asked for him to come be sent back. So they're pushing through a bill to allow extradition to mainland China.
That is difficult.
Which, opposers to this bill have spoken about China's record with human rights violations and the lack of accountability with criminals in China. And people are kind of... What's insane is I think... It's something like 7 or 8 million people live in Hong Kong. Mm. So 1/7 or 1/8 of the population were out protesting this.
Yeah, it's pretty significant.
And the government are still pushing forward with the bill, which is remarkable.
But it's terrifying because once you open that door...
Exactly.
We know that China's not just going to extradite criminals.
Mm. Yeah, so I mean, that's why they're protesting, I guess, very fiercely against this.
Scary
times.
There
you go.
Scary times.
So that is 5-4 as we go into the bonus question. So you can draw, Chris. Well, actually, no. Robin has one.
Yay!
But you can regain some.
You can make it an extra honorary point. Draw. I just closed my buzzer, but.
And also, you might.
I'm taking this seriously. I told you I wasn't good at quizzes.
Well,
you got 4 points.
You might do okay in this one.
Yeah.
Again, I'm going to accept closest wins.
Oh no!
Which might balance the odds slightly. At the time of recording, and this is public videos on the channel, how many videos have 101 Facts uploaded?
Oh. That was majestic.
Is it 200? No, it's not. It's 140 something.
Oh, Chris, go back to 200.
Really?
Well, it's not 200, but you're closer than that one.
Really? Because the 101st video was hip hop, and that was last year.
Well. You're saying closer to 200 and higher than 140 something. So I'm going to say 165.
It's 234.
Really?
Yeah.
That's incredible. Half an hour each. Because how long have you been going then? 3 years? 4 years? Because you do one a week.
No, I've been going for 2.5 years on 101. Two and a half?
Two and
two-thirds. I'd say,
yeah. And it's one a week. So that's... 52 weeks in a year.
But then 8 months of that, 9 months of that.
You were doing two a week.
Were two a week.
I don't believe that.
on the channel, it will say 240, 243, but these are the public videos.
That's incredible.
234. When did that happen?
Yeah.
Well done. That's amazing.
When did this happen? Who allowed this?
So this quiz has ended with Robin winning and Chris gaining an existential crisis.
Thanks for inviting me again, guys.
Well, thanks for coming, Chris. It's been great having you. Hopefully,
I'm still reeling from 234 videos.
Yeah, while you melt down in the corner, we'll say thank you for listening and for watching us on YouTube.
And make sure you actually go over and watch some of those 234 videos.
Please validate my life.
We can personally vouch they are they're really, fantastic. Really
one
well
of my favorite channels on YouTube.
Yeah,
absolutely. Well, thank you for watching and for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Bye bye.
If you want some merch from 101 Facts, make some.